This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Igor Stravinsky's experiences in Hollywood were not what you might call epic. He wrote his Four Norwegian Moods for a film about the Nazi invasion of Norway. But when the producers asked him to edit the music to fit the film, he shot back that they should edit the film to fit the music. So that was the end of that. He was furious that Leopold Stokowski had shortened The Rite of Spring for Disney's classic Fantasia, and he threatened to sue, at least until he got his first royalty check. So when his Hollywood neighbor Franz Werfel asked him to consider scoring an upcoming film of Werfel's book, The Song of Bernadette, Stravinsky was unenthusiastic, but inspired enough to begin writing. The story is about a young girl in 19th century France who has a vision that may or may not be the Virgin Mary. As it turned out, Stravinsky's music never made it to the screen, though he was able to repurpose what he had written, and even though the film went on to win 4 Academy Awards, he kept his involvement with it a secret. In his program note for the premiere of the Symphony in Three Movements in 1946, Stravinsky insisted that the work was absolute music, without a program or any external influence. He did admit that one could find it touched by this our arduous time of sharp and shifting events, of despair and hope, of continual torments, of tension and, at last, cessation and relief. End quote. 2 years later, he again denied any extra musical connotations in the symphony. But in his 1963 book Dialogues and a Diary, he finally acknowledged the influence of movies in the first and third movements. The opening, he said, had been inspired by a documentary on scorched earth tactics in China. The third movement, by newsreel footage of goose-stepping soldiers. He also associated the last part of the finale with the rise of the Allies after the overturning of the German war machine, end quote. But he still left out any mention of the Song of Bernadette. Like most of the music Stravinsky wrote after The Rite of Spring, the Symphony in Three Movements is made of blocks set side by side. Stravinsky moves abruptly from one to the next, and the blocks seem to be unrelated and unconnected, at first. The first movement is in 3 large sections, with the middle section being the longest and the end the shortest. The first of these sections is in Stravinsky's big orchestra style. The second is more chambery, like one of Bach's more elaborate Brandenburg concertos. And the third brings the two styles together, synthesizing the opposing elements. The opening gesture is a call to action for almost the full orchestra, followed by stalking horn and trumpet calls against chugging clarinet chords. And then this passage for strings and piano. Thank you. Stravinsky's biographer Robert Kraft characterized this part as something that might have been introduced practically unnoticed at the Copacabana between stretches of bossa nova, end quote. Other passages sound like the Rite of Spring. But underneath these episodes, Stravinsky sets up connections, like reminders of certain harmonies or melodic contours or sonorities. Even the middle sections share a common pulse, though they feel very different. And the coda of the first movement brings back the opening gesture. It was the second movement that Stravinsky had intended for the score to the Song of Bernadette, but it was many years before he acknowledged that he had even thought about scoring the film. In the first movement, Stravinsky gave the piano a feature role. In the Andante, the harp is in the spotlight. The second movement's coda leads directly to the finale. Piano and the harp together and setting the scene for the harmonies and textures to come. After the icy transparency of the second movement, Stravinsky returns to the massive tones of the first movement. One of the finale's mini chapters is a fugue, with sharp angles and jagged edges that look ahead to the Stravinsky of the late 1950s and 60s. Stravinsky even connected this work to his Symphony in C by suggesting that this fugue is in some way the continuation of the one he started, then, as he said, abandoned like a very hot potato in the finale of the other symphony. The physical thrust of the first movement returns too, and the work concludes in triumph. The Symphony in Three Movements turned out to be the last work Stravinsky would write for full orchestra in big orchestra style. The two symphonies he wrote in the 1940s are like two sides of the same mythological coin. The Symphony in C, which he started in France, is Apollo, inspired by Haydn, melodic, tightly structured, full of polished surfaces and sharply defined corners. The Symphony in Three Movements is all American and all Dionysus, full of fierce and unruly energy and very much of the 20th century. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.